listen to this. I was reading it this morning. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Wow. I thought, so Lord, what does that mean? You know, living a Christian life, it can be an easy thing. It shouldn't be a grieving thing. Because when the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives, we can live the way he desired us to live according to the word of God. Why? Because he changes that heart. So the Bible says the love of God, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not a hard thing to serve the Lord. You know, I remember early on when I became a Christian, the pastor at that time, I remember I felt like I was struggling, and he said, Sister Deborah, he said, pretty soon the Christian life will become to you like a second breath. You'll just be able to just, you won't feel all this pressure or feel, and you know, he was right. And it gets that way. But that's called growing in the Lord, understanding his blood, his grace, understanding that he is for you, not against you. The Father is willingly ready to receive you, no matter where you've been and what you've done. Bring it to him. Amen? And then you'll want to love him. You'll want to live right. Why? Because his grace is sufficient, and he gives us that added to make the right decisions. So his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard. Isn't that a good thing? That's good. So anyway, take a deep breath. Say, God's got me, and I can do this. Amen. It's not grievous. Share the love of God wherever you go. Out in public, share the love of God. I kind of was trying to do that yesterday when my sister and I were out. And anyway, it's just a good thing to do to people, because sometimes it catches people off guard. And they think, wow. And I'm thinking, this world really can be fixed like that. Just make Jesus king. That's all you got to do. Everybody, everybody, everybody. Everybody. And it'll be all right. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to praise and worship you. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint this praise team. And thank you for all that have gathered here today. Thank you for the churches that I passed that were having outside services, and all of those that are gathered today in Patrick County. God, we bless them, and all over the state of Virginia and the United States and all over the world. God, bless all the churches that have gathered today. Help them have a move of God, Lord, like they've prayed for and they desire. And God, bless us and bring us all back into unity of the faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. A weapon is a melody. Raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. Thank you. praise him this morning. Amen. Somebody say, God is good. Amen. Mm-hmm. Look at somebody and say, put your praise on today. Come on, let's get some more people down here. You need to be praising the Lord. Come on down a little bit. We're going to get those appendages that God gave you lifted up toward heaven like lightning rods, receiving the presence and the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Say, I want this, Lord. Yes. The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. And when the darkness falls, it won't prevail. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. No, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. Giant, for I know how the story ends. Come on. Oh, I know how the story ends. I'm gonna see victory. I'm gonna see victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see the victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Verse 2. Oh. For this power in the mighty name of Jesus, and in every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, for I know how the story ends. Oh yes, I know how the story ends. You take what the enemy meant for evil. Bible and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take, come on.
You take what the enemy meant for evil.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. So you need to say, I got the victory. You need to say it like you mean it. Come on. You got to say it with confidence. Come on, somebody say confidence. You had every right to stand there at a distance, but you wrapped yourself in flesh and came to me. Why would I need the proof of your existence when your mercy is the air know you're not far away. God, you cannot be contained. Heaven is where you are. Jesus, I call on your name. You can do anything, anything. Heaven is where you are. Heaven is where you are. I can relate to the feet you hung beside you. See the gift that we never earned. Wonderful grace, you can make it all new. Hallelujah. Let me hear you give another shout to the Lord. Yes, amen, amen. See, the Bible says clap your hands to the Lord, all ye people. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph and with the voice of praise. Hallelujah. God. Do something good again this morning. Praise God. We're going to receive some more members in today. And so I want Deborah to come. And you got something? Okay. Let's see. Dan and Dolly Atkinson. Come on back here with me. I told Margaret because of her knee, I said, we'll come back here where you're at. And so, you know, today she wouldn't have to walk down.
That's
so
right. That's good.
We get Dan and Dolly over here close by.
Yes.
Amen. And we have talked to these, and we have sent Margaret transferred her membership.
Yes.
So
and this says this letter is to certify that Margaret has been a member in good standing, and we hereby release her to your membership, Sandra Clark.
Amen. Thank God for that.
That's awesome.
And so Dan and Dolly, we sit down the other night, we talked to them, and they're wanting to join up with us, praise God, in the fellowship. And we thank God for anyone who does that. Amen, amen. So today, they know the Lord Jesus. And so today, we just thank God for them. I want us to stand together. We're going to pray over them today and receive them. I want you to just stretch forth your hands today toward them. Father, I so thank you today for Margaret.
Yes.
I thank you for Dolly. I thank you for Dan. Father, we bless them right now in Jesus' name. Father, receive them, Lord, into this fellowship of believers. I thank you right now, Father God. Lord, they're covered by the blood, saved by your name. Their names are written in heaven. Father, and we ask you today to bless them and enrich their lives in every way. Father God, that they need it. Lord, we speak life over them, health over them, and we bless them, O Lord God. Father, and we pray today, Lord Jesus, that they will, Lord, just be full of the joy of the Lord and the strength of God, Father, that you'll renew their youth as they grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen and amen.
And if you concur with their membership, please state so by saying amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Everybody say, God bless you to them. Amen. Amen. Bless you, my brother. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. I'm COVID free. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory. Glory to God. I was over here yesterday and preparing for today, you know, like I usually am, and studying and getting ready, and late last night, and the Lord's always doing stuff to you. Somebody say, yes, he is. And so this morning when I got up, and I had this song just going over and over in my head today. It's actually the one Barry does, you know, that talks about the weapons, you know, about being surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And the Lord began to speak to me about that. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I spent all that time getting ready for this other message. And I said, you could have spoke to me yesterday or last night. I'm just playing with you, because he does this to me quite often, actually. And so then he spoke to me, Isaiah 54, verse number 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And when I heard that, I said, okay. I said, I'm getting you, Lord. And then I reached and I got this notebook, you know, because I keep my stuff with me all the time. And I opened it up, and it was right in front of me. I said, Lord, I said, you never cease to amaze me how you got me set up for this, you know, today. And so it's really exciting sometimes just to see how God works, the tokens that he gives and the things that he does. You know, for all you people out here that, you know, that are afraid to get up and speak or preach, or, you know, you got to have 10 days to study, you can forget that. You may get that once in a while. I call it shooting by the hip. Quick draw. Amen. Amen. So if I mess up this morning, you blame it on Daryl. Amen. I'm picking at him. Let's go ahead and stand this morning. Isaiah 54, verse number 17. It is good to see you in God's house today. Amen. Amen. You should know this scripture by heart. And the Bible says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned. Shall you condemn? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Father, thank you today for your word. I ask you right now in Jesus' name to come and touch our hearts and our minds. Lord, I know somebody needs this today, because I know you. And I pray right now, Father God, that everything the enemy has brought against any individual in their mind, any weapon that may be formed, Father God, were on their jobs, Lord, in their neighborhood, Father, anything that the enemy is bringing against them, I thank you right now, it shall not prosper. It shall be broken today. It will be cast down, smashed, bashed, and trashed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for absolute victory, God, that you give. Thank you today, Lord Jesus, how great you are because you give us the victory. You always cause us to triumph. Now, Father, we thank you that faith is being stirred up for the days ahead, for anything that may come our way. We understand that your word tells us no weapon, absolutely no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We receive that and thank you for the anointing. I say I desperately need your touch. Breathe upon me, speak through me that you would have me to say today. Guide every word, guide every thought, and Holy Spirit, help me not to miss anything. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. No weapon formed. No weapon formed. So right now, I want you to get in your mind whatever it is, you that are watching by live stream, that lie that the enemy is telling you, that thing that he has blown up so big that he has brought against you, that thing, that work that has come against you with, that thing that he's using to cause defeat or torment in your life. I want you to see that, and I want you to see God's hand crush that in the name of Jesus. I was thinking, and I'm thinking, you know, that our world right now is filled with fear. In fact, Jesus, when speaking of the end times, said this, men's hearts shall fail them for fear for the things that are coming upon the earth. The terrorism, the economic woes. I mean, we have seen over the past few days horrendous darkness that's moving, you know, in our world. I mean, we would have thought, you know, last week or a month ago or back at the beginning of the year, we didn't even expect COVID to show up, but it creeped up and manifested its ugly self. Somebody say, yes, it did. And then now we see this upheaval that is in the earth right now. So we have no idea what may be coming. We understand that Jesus tells us in the Word of God that when the end times begin, the last days start. One of the words that they use there is that the ultimate end, the last of the last days, the apex of the beginning of all things, they'll come like one right after the other. And Jesus tells us, he says, when you see these things begin to domino one after the other, happening at the same time, you can bank on the fact you are in the last of the last days that are upon this earth. And so I really truly believe that we've entered into that. I believe that as we look around us, we can see all the things that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24 and the prophets spoke of through the old covenant. When he tells us, you know, that these are the beginning of sorrows, but he backs up and he said, you hear of wars, rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, ethnos against ethnos. And so that's one of the things that we're experiencing right now. Is that when we look at the nations of the earth, not just in America, because it is not a localized thing. This is happening in the nations of the earth. I know that here we are in America. We think American, and we just look at our own streets and problems. But we as Christians need to understand we are a holy nation. We're citizens of heaven. That is the place that our citizenship is. America is a host nation. If more people could understand that you are here for a purpose and a reason, and don't just get caught up in what's happening in our nation, but understand, looking from the viewpoint of heaven, that you have to measure everything through the eyes of the scripture, because we're not on this one side or that one side. We're on heaven's side. Somebody say amen. We're part of the redeemed of the Lord, a holy nation set apart to do the will and purpose of God right now. So as one person has so well said, it said, well, we're here today and we are gone tomorrow. That may be true, but we're here in the nasty now and now. Somebody say, yes, we are. And so the leaders of the day promise things to us that they can't deliver lots of times because they just want to be reelected. because there's no guarantees of a safe future as far as the world goes. It's just like right now, I know that the world is prophesying and other people are prophesying. I'm not talking about God's prophets. I'm talking about people that are saying, we're going to have another outbreak of COVID. We're going to have an outbreak of this. That very well may be true. But can I tell you today, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And every mouth that rises against me in judgment is going to be condemned in the name of Jesus. It is my heritage. I have inherited this through Christ. It belongs to me. And if I believe that and I decree that and I declare that, that is going to stand in my life. Do you understand that today? We cannot fear what is outside, what is headed our way. We cannot fear those things, because what did Jesus say? He says, men's hearts, Luke 21, men's hearts will fail them for fear, looking for those things which are coming upon the earth. I want to tell you, there's plenty of fear to go around today. Fear spreads like a wildfire. Faith is something that's not contagious. It has to be built. It comes by hearing the word of God. And I can hear my father saying to me this morning, son, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I hear him saying the church needs this. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Everybody say that with me. Say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. This is my heritage. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Haggai said these words in chapter 2. And we hear this verse all the time. But I'm going to tell you, it needs to register in our spirit. What did God say? He said, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once more it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth. Are you getting this? The sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. All nations. You've heard me say this 10,000 times, because I'm glad for what he says next, because most people just focus upon the shaking. But the thing about it is, when God does the shaking, he says the desire of all nations shall come. Are you getting that? Jesus, he's talking about Jesus. I can tell you right now that if we will preach Christ, if the church will get busy preaching the gospel, the desire of all nations will come, because people need to see our peace. They need to see our stand. They need to see us in the midst of the turmoil that's out there. When they look at us, they see us as solid as a rock. And they say, well, you're not moved by this COVID, and you're not moved by this ethnos problem. You're not moved by the different things that's going on around the world. What about the economy? What about the failing economy? What if we really enter into a recession? What if everything goes busted? What about all these kind of things? Listen, I want to say this. This kingdom is not everlasting. I serve a kingdom that is everlasting. I belong to that kingdom that's everlasting. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but the word of God promises me it's not going to pass away. His word is going to stand and live and abide forever. So the safest place for you to be today is in him. In the word. Somebody say, in the word. Because the word says what? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Jesus. Everybody say, Jesus is the desire of all nations. They may not know it yet, but they're going to find out that he is king, that he is God, and that he is Lord. See, what we see and what we know is that liberty, listen, liberty is going to do away with slavery. Restoration is going to dispel depravity. Salvation is going to dispel ruin. And peace and prosperity are going to do away with war and insecurity in the kingdom to come. Come on, somebody. In the kingdom to come. I hope you're getting this now. Because listen, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. There's going to be wars. There's going to be woes. There's going to be one thing right after the other as time begins to move forward, and we understand that we're living in the last of the last days, that I may, before I go to bed tonight, something else horrible may happen. When I get up in the morning, something horrible may happen. But I understand at the same time that all of that is going on, that God has promised me, like we talked about last week, in the last days of the last of the last days, in the final end, when the days of the climax of the very end is coming, before that end comes, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, I want that. He's talking about a worldwide revival that's taking place parallel, running side by side of all the evil that is going on. What do you mean? No weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. So I'm going to stand in the middle of the storm and I'm going to proclaim Christ and I'm going to live a godly life and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Listen, though the waves come and the storms may come, I know a sea walker and I know a storm talker, somebody that can walk on the water and rebuke the storms and the waves and command them to lay down and they will. I'm holding his hand. I'm walking with him. And he may say like to me like he did Peter, David, you come to me. I'm saying, I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming, Jesus. I'm coming. So I'm going to tread upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy that he possesses. I'm going to walk on the waters and the seas of life and the storms when they come against me. And I'm going to decree right in the middle of everything, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Absolutely no weapon that is formed shall prosper against me. So you don't have to worry. Somebody say it's bad to look around and worry. You know, when we look in the book of Isaiah, it's called the Messianic Book of the Old Covenant. And so it reveals a lot of things about the sovereignty of God to us. And it shows the glory of God. It introduces Jesus as the as wonderful, as counselor, as mighty God, as everlasting Father, as Prince of Peace. It reveals God's love and his protection for his people. And the prophet tells us that God is the one that holds the future in his hands, that Zion will be restored to her former beauty, that God comforts and delivers his people. Somebody say, yes, he does. When you go into the old covenant or when you look throughout the entire word of God, it's God that's there with his people in death, in life, in every situation that there is. If we are released to him, if our lives are in his hands, we're not worried about tomorrow. It's like Paul said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to do it to the glory of God. I give myself to him. I am resigned to him. And so Isaiah introduces God's suffering servant in Isaiah chapter number 53 and the glorious salvation that he brings. And he says, listen, you need to understand he's your healer, he's your deliverer, he's your buckler, he's your shield, he's your rock, he's your fortress, he's your comfort, he's your peace, he's everything that you're ever going to need. He's the one that supplies everything that you'll ever have to have in life. All you need to do is to put your life in his hands and trust him. Somebody say, trust him. Somebody say, trust him. Trust him. You see, in the midst of everything that happens in life, I love the way that Isaiah begins to wind this thing up. And as he's talking to the people, and then he says that this big declaration, seeing you that were barren and you that are about, you are about to become more fruitful than any other. And God says, enlarge the place that you dwell because you are about to break out into supernatural growth. I love that statement because it's important for us to get this because God says, if you're looking in the natural and if you're paying attention to natural things and if you're banking on the natural, you're going to get what the natural produces. But if you're looking at the supernatural God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who created all things, the God of abundance, if you put your faith and trust in him, somebody say in him, you're going to get what he can produce. Somebody say he is unlimited. He is unlimited. He is unlimited in the name of Jesus. And then God makes this statement right out of the blue in Isaiah 54, verse 16. I created the smith. How many smiths do we have? You're not Smith, you're Hutchins. You used to be a smith. I created the smith. The smith was the one that forged the weapons. Are you listening to me? God then says, I created the one that destroys. I am God, and besides me, there is no other. What a declaration. So what is he saying here? He's saying this. I know every conceivable weapon that can be formed against you. Oh, you're going to have to get this now. I created the weapon maker. Listen, God says, I feel the Holy Ghost. You got to get this. God says, I know every conceivable weapon that your adversary can ever create against you. I mean, nothing's hid from him. Come on. Nothing's hid from God. The amazing thing about this, here God is and he's telling his people and he wants us to sink down deep, and we have got to get this morning. God says, I don't care how far in the future it is. I don't care who's going to bring it. I don't care what the name of it is. He said, I already know what it is. He said, and I can assure you of this, before it's ever released out of your enemy's hands, it's already destroyed, because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He said, it doesn't matter what it is. He said, oh, if my people could just get a hold of the fact that before it's ever released out of the enemy's hands, it's already falling to the ground. It's already destroyed. It'll never make it to where you are, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So anything that Satan can connive up out of his wiles and his strategies to try to set you up and take you out. I'm reminded of one time that I was on my way to Roanoke on a Sunday morning to preach at Valley Word Ministry. And as we were driving up there, this vehicle got in front of us. And this idiot driver, full of the devil, every time we try to pass him, he would swerve over. We're getting out, he would swerve over. And this kept going. I said, we need to just back off here. I said, this guy's going to try to kill us. I said, he's got a devil in him. And so I said, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, I ask you, God, to get this guy out of my way. Out of nowhere, I don't even know where they came from, because my eyes were wide open. Out of nowhere, a forest ranger came. I didn't even know forest rangers could arrest people. And then I was told, oh, they have a lot of authority. The forest ranger come out of nowhere, threw his lights on, pulled that guy over. I went by and said, take that devil in the name of Jesus. Because the devil was saying, you're not going to get to Roanoke on time. You're going to be late when you get up there. I want to tell you, I was right on time. God moved. God worked miracles. God saved people. God delivered people. And I was saying, take that devil, because no weapon that is formed against David T. Coleman is going to prosper. And no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper today. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm confident in this one thing. That not one weapon that's formed against me. See, the devil in his unholy dark counsel is trying to come up with some way to take you out. Maybe he wants to bring divorce into your family. Maybe he wants to put your kid on drugs. Maybe he wants to give you a disease to kill you. Listen, maybe he wants to take you out financially. There's all kinds of things that maybe he's tormenting your mind today. Maybe you are full of fear because of the things that are going on in this world. But while he's there and he's asking his devils, what can we do, those little demon imps, and how can we take this Christian out? How can we destroy their life? How can we keep them from the ministry? How can we keep them from preaching the gospel? How can we destroy them? What can we do to defame their character? What can we do to just take them out? I'm going to tell you, when he comes up with it, no matter how great that it is and all the little demons are singing together, glory, hallelujah to the devil, when all the demons are real happy because they're getting ready to do it, guess what? God says, let it be released, because I've got a shield up. Come on, somebody. It's called the blood of Jesus. It's called the word of the living God. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Got to have that confidence. Somebody say, be confident. Be confident. Amen. See, it's important that we anchor our faith to Almighty God. And I love this, because when he's talking here about no weapon that is formed against you, that word formed comes from the Aramaic word kali, and it means no strategy, no implement, no weapon, no design, nothing that's produced by the devil. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Listen, this is the heritage of the servants of God. Say, that's my heritage. If I look back in my heritage and say, hey, devil, you couldn't kill my daddy. You couldn't kill my grandfather. You couldn't kill my grandmother. You couldn't kill my uncle. You couldn't kill this. Devil, it's my heritage. I've got a heritage that's been passed down to me. You could not take Jesus out until he said, I'm willing to lay down my life. That is my great heritage. Listen today, if the devil couldn't take out Jesus, he can't take you out. Come on. Somebody shout this with me. Say, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. No weapon. You know, in life, so oftentimes we don't realize it, When the enemy is forging those weapons and releasing them against you, you have to have that shield of faith working in your heart. That's part of your armor. If you're believing the woes that the devil is putting up before you, if you're embracing that depression, if you're embracing the fear, Job said, the thing I feared came up on me. If we were to back up and to find out about Job, what does the Bible say? There came a day that the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. And the Lord saw him and said, well, where did you come from? And he said, from walking up and down to and fro in the earth. And God looks at him and says, well, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth who eschews evil. He's an upright and righteous man. There's none like him. Have you considered him? The thing about it is the devil could not touch him. Are you listening? Somebody say this to him and said, the devil can't touch me. He couldn't touch Job. This is what you got to get. How come the hedge went down? Somebody said, well, God let it come down. Job spoke these words. The thing I feared is come up on me. See, it's important for you to keep that faith level up. Read your Bible. Read the miracles. Read the signs. Read the wonders. Worship the God that created all things and keep your faith strong in him. Somebody say amen. Because as you do, your faith shield is going to be up. Because when the enemy starts throwing those fiery darts at you, according to Ephesians chapter number 6, you're going to quench every one of them. And your favorite scripture is going to be Isaiah 54:17. And you're going to be holding that shield up because you're going to be full of faith. And you're going to say, hey, COVID, I got a word for you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I think written on those weapons has to be COVID-19. The flu. Come on. Cancer, diabetes, no weapon. Now listen, God's smart enough to know. Listen, God's never the problem. He is the solution. God's never the problem. It's our faith struggle. I was talking to Stella the other day when she got this evil report back from the doctor. And she said, I'm going to have a little while to get my head straightened out. That's the same thing Deborah said when she received that evil report. And so she had to soak herself in the word. And like anything that we go through in life, I know that whether it's a trial or a test or a sickness or a disease or a problem or whatever that it might be, you have to go find the promises in the word of God, and you got to get your faith level up. Come on. Hallelujah. Because you can always tell when that faith level is there. You remember when Jesus was coming down from the mountain and the disciples were trying to cast the demons out of a man's son that was casting itself and himself into the water and into the fire? And so they came and they were running over to Jesus because that's the way that people are. Because if we claim to be Christ-like, and if we claim to be anointed by God, if we can't produce what we're supposed to talk about, and that's what the world is wanting right now. They're saying either put up or shut up. And that's why we need to learn to walk in the supernatural and demonstrate the power of Almighty God. Somebody say yes. Because if we can talk about it but not produce it, we're not any good. When we get to the place that we can produce it, that's when the desire of all nations is going to come, because they're going to say, well, I'll tell you one thing, it might be hell going on over here, but they got some heaven going on over there. They may be sick over here, but they're healed over there. They may be having problems here, but they're not having problems over here. Something is different about them. Come on. That's the way that it should be. Amen? Now listen. And so when Jesus came down out of that mountain, they went running over and they said, well, you know, your disciples are over here and they're trying to cast this devil. I said, and they can't do it. Jesus said, where's he at? Let the master be it. Let the master do it. Jesus goes over, casts the devils out of the boy, delivers him instantly. And he looks at his disciples and said, after he talks to them privately, he doesn't rebuke them in front of everybody else. He takes them privately to the side and he said, this kind comes by prayer and fasting. Why did he tell them that? Because prayer and fasting and getting in that word is the only thing that can drown out the unbelief that the devil puts in your head telling you that you cannot do it. If you're going to cast out a devil, if you're going to heal the sick, or you're going to work miracles in his name and do the works of Jesus, then you're going to have a level of faith that Jesus has. Come on, somebody. Somebody say faith. Faith. Knowing that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We know, you know, when you have that level of faith operating in your life. Because when you reach it, it's just like initially when something happens, you instantly know, well, I'm just not prepared for this. I'm not ready for it. You go pray and fast a few days, you get prepared for it. Amen? You get prepared. I know some years ago that some people want me to go to a man's house and had devils in him and said, we want to cast these demons out. And I'm always praying to fast that I'm ready to go, praise God. And the Lord said, you stay home. I said, well, Lord, they've already wanted me to come. They want me to come. Jesus says, stay home. And so I disobeyed the Lord and I went. I was sitting in the living room of that house. And I had this overwhelming urge, man. I got something. I wanted to laugh so bad I couldn't stand. I was biting my tongue, my lips, because they went in the back where this demon-possessed person was. It was three of them went back there, and they were trying to get them in a chair and get them ready. You know, we were going to pray and cast these devils out. And so I was sitting, I was like, oh, my God, man, it's all I can do not to laugh. I'm sitting there going, I was squirming in a chair, sitting in a room by myself. And I was looking to see if they had any cameras watching me sit there. And I'm sitting there and I can hear the Lord saying, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. And I'm sitting there, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, they come out and they say, okay, we're ready for you to come back. I walked back. That man was sitting in that chair. He looked at me and said, guess what he said? He said, I'm going to make you laugh. That guy didn't know who I was, had not seen me, but those demons did. And I walked in there, he said, I'm going to make you laugh. Boy, I tell you what, the Holy Ghost rose up in me or my flesh won. I was already in the flesh because I was disobeying God by being there. I said, devil, you couldn't make me laugh out here. You're not going to make me laugh now. So I started praying, man. We started praying. We prayed for about an hour, and I'm sitting there thinking, why am I here? I'm sitting there thinking, no weapon formed. But anyway, come to find out, this demon spoke out of this man. This is what this devil said. He said, I don't want deliverance. This man said, I don't want deliverance. I love to make preachers look like fools. God, I got riled up. I said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go pray and fast 3 days and three nights. I said, I'm coming back. And I said, I'm going to cast you out. Boy, I got in my car and I left and I went and I prayed and fasted 3 days and I called up, not this Bobby, but another Bobby in Roanoke. I said, hey, I said, brother, I said, you ready? I said, we're going to meet and we're going to go over here. I said, I'm ready. Praise God. Man, my faith was ready. I mean, I was ready to, if I couldn't cast it, I was going to rip a head off and reach down and grab it and pull it out. You know what I'm saying? I just, God, I wanted that devil. You know what I mean? Just. And so I remember walking, I was driving down the road, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, what are you doing? I said, going to this guy's house to cast the devil out. I said, didn't I tell you not to go the first time? You turn this car around and you go home. I said, yes, sir. See, but you know whether you got it or not. That's what I'm getting at. Oh, I had it, but they didn't want it. But I also knew anybody who wants deliverance that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Somebody say amen. See, the moral of the story is this, is you've got to be ready when you're dealing with the devil. And you understand no weapon that's formed against me is going to prosper no matter what the enemy throws at me. Next time I'll carry Daryl with me. Yeah. But there's a story that 2 Kings chapter 6 tells us that really relates this. Syria and Israel are at war. And so the king of Syria, which is a type of the devil, the kingdom of darkness, as he's warring with Israel, which is a type of the church, or you as a believer. Man, he's forming strategies and stuff, and he's attacking them, and then, you know, but nothing can happen, because every time that this king of Assyria wants to attack Israel, they're not there. And so, man, he would do it over and over again. Finally, he got to the place that he speaks up and he says, all right, there has to be a spy in the midst of us, and God tell us who it is. And so this one person speaks up and says, no, it's not that there's a spy in the midst of us. It's that there is a prophet in Israel by the name of Elisha that knows that what you're saying. He even knows what you're saying in your bedroom. And he says, well, we're going to get this guy. Find out where he is. And so they send out and they find out that he's in Dothan. And so they get the army. He takes a large army and he sends it out to where Elisha is so that they can capture him and bring him back. And see, that's just the way the devil is. Somebody say yes. And so the king sends out that massive army to Dothan. And so while Elisha and his servant are there, the Bible said that early the next morning that Elisha's servant got up. And when he did and wiped that sleep out of his eyes and he looked up, he saw that the whole city was surrounded by horses and by chariots. I love this story. And so the servant says, alas, master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded by the enemy, horses and chariots of fire. The entire city is surrounded. Can I tell you this morning that when your life looks like it's absolutely surrounded by the enemy, that you need to ask God in heaven to stir your faith up? Amen. And I love what the prophet does next. He says, Lord, open his eyes. Somebody say, Lord, open my eyes. And so immediately that servant's eyes were opened and he sees the mountains and the hills are filled with horses and chariots of fire surrounding the enemy's horses and chariots of fire. I don't know about you, but I love that, man. That's why I say it looks like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. He's the Lord of the angel armies of heaven. Somebody say, yes, he is. See, it may look like you're outnumbered, but always remember, God doesn't win wars by numbers. It may look like you're out-strategized, but always remember, God's shield is going to take care of everything that the enemy brings against you, because no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Mm-hmm. See, I feel that tenseness right now. We're getting ready to break through. Man, and I love this because the Lord of the angel armies of heaven is on my side. See, oh my God. Listen. If God be for us, who can be against us? What did R.W. Shambach say? All you need is faith in God. That's all you need. That's all you need. I don't know about you, baby, but when the enemy strategized and that guy sent that army out, that's indicative of churches. It's indicative of our lives, that when we're engaged in struggles and we know the enemy is roaring against us and he's coming, and, you know, in our families and in our finances and in this nation right now, we're wondering to ourselves, because here we are, we absolutely know that God is pouring out his spirit in the world. Not just America, but on this globe right now, he's pouring out his spirit. If I were hell and if I were the devil, I'd be stirring up everything out of darkness that I possibly could. I know the other night when the strawberry moon was out and the witches were out praying and they were releasing curses and speaking evil over our nation, Deborah and I were engaged in prayer, praying with the man of God online. We were speaking the blessing of God. We were praying the will of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord, in earth as it is in heaven. Father, upon the church. Pour out your spirit. Father God, bring these things to naught that these witches and Satanists are releasing, Father God, into this nation right now. The demon powers of hell that are being stirred up. We pray that they will all collapse and fall before us as nothing. Father God, because, Lord, our adversary is defeated. You defeated Satan 2,000 years ago. Victory belongs to us. It belongs to the church. And Father, we speak that victory. We ask for revival like we've never seen it before. Father God, give us something like a wave that will blast COVID out of this nation. Give us a wave of glory that destroys the powers of darkness. Give us a wave of the power of God that demolishes the strongholds of the wicked one. And so we were praying this prayer. But you could feel the tenseness in the air. Man, when we were praying that, you could just feel that. You could feel that. We went out and took a picture of the moon, you know, took several pictures of that. And we were looking up, and I was sitting there thinking, because, you know, we'd had dealings in this stuff before down through our lives where, you know, where we had some kids that were involved in Satanism in Roanoke, Virginia. And they were offering up animal sacrifices because they wanted power with the devil. And so this one lady in church, her daughter had become involved in it. And I can remember she came to us and said, we don't know what to do. I said, look, God's greater than the devil. I want you to know he's greater than what these kids are doing. And God's going to break that power in Jesus' name. We prayed, we fasted, and sought the Lord. To put a long story short, as she was sitting in her house, it was a brand new house, a fairly large house. The deck just dropped off of it. Pictures were moving on the walls. Furniture was jumping around in the room. Man, we prayed, God shut it down like he put his big foot on and said, that's it, devil. You're not going to have this kid. Come on. She prayed for her daughter. That little girl got born again. She got delivered. Has anybody listening to me right now? I'm going to tell you, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. The devil can't come in your house and work havoc as long as you put faith in Jesus and declare, you are not having this territory. No weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. None of it. And so I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know, while she's telling us and we're watching God work and God sets them free because the policemen had been out on several farms and the entrails of the animals were missing and the animals were just laying in the field and mutilated. And they knew it was a satanic occult. And I'm thinking how great that God is. Because no weapon formed against his people shall prosper. You see, when you don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn, you need to begin to get up and proclaim your heritage. No weapon that is formed against me is going to prosper. And so when that army had surrounded them and that servant got up and said, we hold last, master, what are we going to do? Because here, you know, here they are. They surrounded us. We can't get out of this. I mean, we're surrounded by horsemen and chariots and a great number of soldiers are present here. Lord, open his eyes. What's he really saying? If you looked at it, Lord of the angel armies of heaven, you open his eyes. Because those that be with us are more than they that be with them. About that time when the Gehazi's eyes were opened to be able to see horses of fire, chariots of fire. How many know fiery horses and fiery chariots are better than just a chariot or another horse? Come on, somebody. I love this because God's saying, when my fire gets released, I'm going to consume everything that the enemy can do. And so they're looking for Elisha. Elisha identifies himself. And then Elisha prays a prayer, Lord, smite him with blindness so that they cannot see. And so here they come. Elisha says to them, and you have to get this because I don't believe that they're completely blind. I believe they're blind to who Elisha is and their location. They're absolutely confused. I believe that God is getting ready to release confusion into the camp of the enemy that's in America. I believe that he's getting ready to release confusion upon the enemy that's in this world. And they're going to say, what are we doing? What's going on around here? We can't get nothing together. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every day of your life, you should get up and say, Father, I speak confusion into COVID-19. I speak confusion into ethnos problems. I speak confusion into, Lord, everything the enemy's doing right now, that you'll upset it, break it, smash it, bash it, trash it, and bring it to naught. Father, God calls them to come to the place that they throw up their hands and just forget what they're trying to do in the name of Jesus. Yes. opened their eyes to see that it's the hand of God that is against them. Come on, somebody. And so here, Elisha, they come down. And they said, where's Elisha? He said, I'll take you to him. And so Elisha takes him and leads him right in to Samaria, where the king of Israel is. And the king of Israel goes, hot diggity dog. You want me to massacre them? He says, no, I don't want you to massacre them. I want you to feed them and give them something to drink. Sounds like something Jesus said in the new covenant. When they got there to the Israeli camp of Samaria, God opened their eyes, lifted the blindness, and they saw that they were captive. Their lives were in the hands of the people that they were previously trying to kill. Right now in America, I believe that God is getting ready to release a strategy that has multitudes of young people blinded and corrupted because of George Soros, the Johnson guy, and others that are financing what they're doing, paying them God knows what to load buses up and travel to different cities. In cities across America, it is already a known fact that this has happened. They have found this out. And they're saying now that most of the people that come in that do the rioting are not even from that particular city. They don't mind coming in and tearing up your city, destroying your shopping malls, destroying the places of business, and then leaving and going back to wherever they came from. That's just the way the devil is. The thing about it is that other young people get caught up in that energy and that hatred, and that visceral hatred that's out there of the enemy. Innocent people are dying and getting hurt. It's amazing to me when you think about that little elderly woman that man took a 1x4 and beat her with it. A policeman that one of those riders took and shot him in the back of the head. Come on, somebody. That's demonic. You look at all the looting and all the horrible stuff that is happening right now, and you look at that group of young people that are out there, and I know in my heart, I said, they absolutely do not know what they're doing and what they're connected to. Satan is trying to control that generation. I'm getting my train is headed toward the home mark. Satan is trying to control them. But I'm here to declare this morning that no weapon formed against those young apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They may not even know who they are yet. They may not even be born again yet, but yet they're chosen by God. They're out there going stark raving mad under that spirit and under the anointing of the evil one. But I declare the power of God and the light of God and the illuminating power of the gospel is going to get to them, and God is going to open their eyes in Jesus' name. So it's important right now to understand that no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And I decree that no weapon formed against my plan, God's plan that he has for these kids, is going to prosper. Somebody say amen. God, bring to light what the enemy is doing. Expose his work. Uncover it. Make it naked, oh God, that a generation be not lost. For the hearts of the fathers shall be turned to the children. The hearts of the children to the fathers, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the wise, lest he comes and smites the earth with a curse. It's important right now to understand that those people have had no head, no leadership, no father. Are you listening? No fathers. Fathers to point them in the right direction. And they've gone to be brainwashed at universities and colleges by liberal teachers that have told them lies and filled them full of just a bunch of garbage about our nation and about our history. Now listen to me this morning. And they are blinded, and they're out there doing what they're doing because of absolute blindness. And so I have to begin to say, God, You're a whole lot smarter than I am. And if I can think those thoughts, I know you're thinking something a whole lot bigger than I am. I believe there's a holy invasion from heaven. I'm saying, God, I want horses of fire and chariots of fire. I want a massive army, the angel armies of heaven, to be released. Father God, to set these young people free that have been blinded and corrupted by this evil, Father God in heaven, and delivered into the light. Come on, somebody, to be rescued by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah! No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. And so I have to believe, God, 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 open up the heavens, Lord. Pour out your spirit like we've never seen it poured out before. No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And so here they are. Here we are. As one prophet said, he said, COVID-19 is nothing besides what's coming. That prophet's dead and in heaven now, John Paul Jackson. He said, this is mild compared to what's coming. And he's really telling the church, he said, you know, when God gives us revelation of a thing, the things exposed belong to us. The things revealed belong to us. We absolutely can have authority over those things and say that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. We need to be in the spiritual Goshen that God provides for us and say, darkness cannot come in here. We're going to have light. Disease cannot come in here. We're going to have health. Are you listening? Corruption and evil cannot come in here. We have the blessing of God upon us. Amen. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. If we really believe that, we really have to believe not one weapon that is formed that Satan can strategize is going to prosper against me. And there are masses of these kids. Listen, it's just like, I think what there's supposed to be some demonstration today in Stewart, is that right? Peaceful demonstration. Well, they're all under the guise of peaceful demonstrations. I hope it is peaceful. But the fact of the matter is this: marching doesn't solve anything. Prayer changes things. It's he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Oh yeah, peaceful protests are fine. That's what I'm getting at though, is that prayer, that the peaceful protests are not going to change anything. It's going to be the prayer that backs it up. That's right. That's what I was getting ready to say to Daryl over here. Daryl, your gift is for this time. That anointing of Dr. King is in you. You got to put a demand upon that and call on it in Jesus' name. You got to say, God, how can I solve this? How can I do this? Lord, how am I going to be able to speak this? Same way you talk in tongues. Comes out of the spirit. I was thinking about this. Think about you yesterday, the day before. Thinking about you during this whole deal. I said, God, I had no idea. Lord, you know, when I was saying that or prophesying that word, you know, what would be coming and what would be happening right now. Because, you know, when we receive things, we don't necessarily know everything. We get bits and pieces. But I can tell you, it's for this time. For right now. God will give you a word. God will give you a word. And break the back of that in Jesus' name. Hatred comes out of the enemy's camp. Racism comes out of the enemy's camp. All this looting and destruction comes out of the enemy's camp. Jesus said the thief has come, but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's his job description. Jesus said, my job description is to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Whole lot of difference in the two. So if you need to know which side to get on, find the one that says, life and life more abundantly. Not the one that kills, steals, and destroys. Because somebody's got to build it back. Somebody's tax dollars has got to build it back. That's why peaceful demonstrations are fine. But anytime somebody busts a window, burns a police car, or destroys property, or takes life, that is the 100% devil. We have to be strong in the Lord right now. Speak his word. We got to, no weapon formed. Oh, Jesus. I can't get into that. I got to close this. Tonight I will. In the service tonight. I got a message that's going to deal with lawlessness, the Antichrist, and anarchy. We're going to talk about that tonight in the service. But this morning, what is the enemy bringing against you? Is it something mental? Is it in your family? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your finances? Is it in your body? I got a word, no weapon. Before the devil ever dreamed it up, before it ever came your way, God had already said, I know what it is, and it shall not prosper. Because it's not bigger than him. He is God. Somebody say, he is God. Let's stand together. I got to stop. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. No weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. I thank you for victory today. Jesus, I thank you that you always cause us to triumph. Always. And Lord, I pray right now, God, for any person under the sound of my voice today, Father God, Satan has strategized things to crush them, to hurt them, to make them suicidal, to depress them, Father, to put disease in their life, Father, to economically destroy them, whatever that it is today. You gave me this word, no weapon that is formed against them, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Father, it will not prosper. You said it will fall to the ground. And I thank you that it will proceed no further. That's it. It is done. It is crushed before us in the name of Jesus today. And Father God, that's the word. And Father, we stand on that right now. With every head bowed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ into your heart. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to receive Christ today. If you're here today and the enemy's messing with you, trying to bring something in, been working against your mind, working against your physical being, working against your family, working against your emotions, whatever that it might be, I want to pray with you today. Because if we can agree together, God says it'll be done. Sometimes we just need to pray together. Sometimes we need that extra boost. So right now in Jesus' name, if you're here today and you want prayer, I want you to step out and I want you to come because we're going to pray. We're going to